Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go,
boy.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour Gamma Ray Gala. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Boise to Baltimore, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
Hey, listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who found a better way to mortgage that you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Big show coming up for you. From the Combine, Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network draft analyst, is going to join us. He'll join us in hour number 4. A lot to get to with him, specifically the quarterback questions of Joe Burrow to Cincinnati, as well as Tua Tagovailoa's health and status. All of that coming up, because a lot of questions surrounding the top of the draft and multiple teams now saying we are open for business, including both the Lions and the Giants in the top 4. Also, the new CBA is in front of the players. What's the biggest takeaway? We'll do that in about 17 minutes from now. In about 40 minutes from now, Mraz used to be the biggest villain in the newsroom. That's no longer the case. There is now a new candidate for the most hated person inside these walls.
My baby daddy, Peter Schwartz.
We shall discuss coming up here in about 40 minutes from now. Also, Champ and a Chump this morning stunned to a news. Did the Crave case show Mraz's desperation? We've got audio from 7 years ago. We talked about this on yesterday's show, that once upon a time, April of 2013, Mraz nearly took down an entire White Castle Crave case. It led to the most jarring photo in DA show history, which we posted yesterday when we were comparing whether Zion Williamson is as heavy now as Mraz at his heaviest, which was 298. We'll also ask the question whether it's unfair that people still question the Milwaukee Bucks and the Astros cheating scandal claims yet another victim. All of that coming up this morning on the show. Any of those topics you want to jump in on, let's do it. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, connect with us, DA on CBS. But let's begin last night in LA, Staples Center. Of course, the very emotional afternoon. 2 days ago, the Kobe Bryant celebration of life. And everybody still in Los Angeles and within that Lakers organization, still shaken about what has happened around them in that city, within the team, to one of the team's greatest icons. And so the Lakers coming out on that same floor last night with Zion and the Pelicans in the house was certainly a moment to reflect on Kobe, on that Lakers organization, on what has happened in that arena, what has happened to that city, LeBron James never-ending excellence, and perhaps a passing of the torch. I mean, Zion, since he's been active and healthy, has been dominant in his own way and shape, which is 25 points basically per game, putting up really remarkable stat lines for a young player like that. But while the Pelicans are trying to find their way through the playoff race and Zion's trying to find his way through his first season, the Lakers are the dominant team right now in the Western Conference. And you had to have a feeling that this was a place, this was a night where LeBron wanted to prove something, maybe to himself, maybe an exclamation point for the memory of Kobe, perhaps for the, hey, not quite yet young fella towards Zion. But last night certainly felt like a statement by James. It is where we begin your cold open.
LeBron on the left side, one-on-one against Holiday. Turns the corner, down the middle, lay it up, and in! The Lakers have taken over and lead by 10.
Satisfaction for me always comes in a win. No matter how well I'm playing, if it goes in a loss, then there's no satisfaction in that at all. So to be out there with my guys and be able to get a win in the win column, that's always the greatest satisfaction I can have.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
John Ireland, Lakers Radio, LeBron James after the victory. Lakers 118, Pelicans 109. And a couple of things that were takeaway from last night. Number one, the Lakers when playing healthy, the Lakers when playing with LeBron and AD on the floor, the Lakers when things click are such a powerful team. They just play well together. They play well in transition. They space the floor well. Everybody knows their roles. The Lakers feel like a classic LeBron team where the center point is LeBron, but there is the secondary scoring, the guy in charge of rebounds, the guy in charge of outside shooting, the players that are in charge of depth, the second unit. The things that LeBron teams have always done well is know your role, execute the role, and it all pivots around LeBron. The Lakers are there. But last night was very obviously a statement by LeBron James. 40 points. On a night where the Lakers had a young buck in town that could be the next face of the NBA. And LeBron James wanted to put his exclamation point on that night. There's no doubt. His active legs around the perimeter, him darting to spots on the floor, him running the floor so well, throwing down the tomahawk jam on the fast break, the two-handed jam as well. LeBron just had an explosion last night that was so obvious he was clicked into the next gear. And this is where LeBron has always thrived. When there's a moment to make a statement, he's done it. Zion in the house, maybe the next face of the NBA. And LeBron was like, not tonight, my friend, not tonight. You could just see that next level of acceleration and aggression from LeBron. There hasn't been a lot of nights like this season. He has almost consistently ceded the main scoring responsibility to AD, except on nights where he's got to go off, he goes off. And for LeBron to do this at this age, just kind of click it into the next gear, hey, this is the lever I pull to go to this next level tonight, is flat out astounding. He shouldn't be able to do this. He shouldn't be able to, on any given night, match up against somebody 20 years younger than him and say, let's go. mano a mano duel, and I'm going to win this. I'm going to dominate. I'm going to put our team on my back as perhaps the best team in basketball. It's astounding. It really is astounding. And we take for granted that this is just what he does. But at this age, LeBron should not be able to simply will himself when needed in year number 16. At 35 years old, he should not be able to simply say, yep, my night, I'm going for 40. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And there's no doubt that was a statement night because Zion was in the house for LeBron to say, it's still my league. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. And this is one of those things that the NBA has always had organically, the passing of the torch and these player v. player duels. Young Bucks trying to come and get the throne. And this has happened forever. This has happened forever. And it's kind of been brought back to the forefront with the Kobe passing, because Kobe clearly did this with Michael. In Michael's last years, Kobe is that young puppy dog nipping at his heels. And Michael, just the other day, talking about this at the memorial, us seeing the video of Kobe and Michael in their first All-Star game together, and Kobe looking at Michael and saying, I want you. I'm coming after you. The video that we saw of a young Kyrie Irving doing the same thing to Kobe, saying, I want you one-on-one. I can take you one-on-one. And Kobe keeping him at an arm's length. Yeah, yeah, sure, young guy. Yeah, okay. Kind of just scoffing at a little bit. Okay, here's another young guy that wants a piece of me. And before Michael became the dog, Michael wanted Magic. Michael wanted Larry. Michael got that in the 1991 NBA Finals against Magic. He said, this is my time. It's happened throughout history, and who knows if Zion is worthy of taking the throne, but we've seen these battles, we've seen these duels before, and last night clearly advantaged LeBron. At LeBron's age, this is usually where the old head starts fading and you see some cracks in the armor. Not for LeBron. Not for LeBron. And if LeBron wins an NBA championship this year with his third different team, it puts him in such a rarefied air. He's already there. But if he collects another ring, which the Lakers are completely capable of doing, it puts him on a totally different stratosphere than he already is, which is pretty remarkable. Again, like I said, here's your phone number if you want to jump in on LeBron versus Zion last night. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. So right now, the new NFL-CBA collective bargaining agreement is in front of the players' reps. The owners have approved their side of things. They are waiting for approval from the players. Players might take their time on this. Players might take a couple of weeks on this. The players have a vote coming up to install a new president after Eric Winston. So they might wait until that. That would come about a week into March. But right now there's a couple of really interesting things about the new CBA. Owners on 17 games. Owners on a new schedule, owners on a second bye, owners on international series. There's a lot baked into that. Owners on the calendar, the bonus playoff team of the AFC and NFC. When we come back here on the show, I want to address here for all of us, what's the biggest takeaway from the new NFL CBA? If you're a fan just looking at this, what's the biggest alteration to you as a fan? We'll do that coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value. big upside.
No limits. That shirt had a limit because it nearly it nearly split that night.
No, I'm just a saying. Another burger. Come on. It's not just a catchphrase.
Not another slider.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's time to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet at me, DA on CBS, and submit your question. Be listening later on to the show, and we'll answer it. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Thanks for being with us. There's so many ways you can listen to the show. Check us out across the great CBS Sports Radio Network and all of our hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Also on Sirius XM Channel 206. You can also check us out on your phone. Use the radio.com app. Use Apple Music. Use the CBS Sports app. Or watch us at watchda.com. We've got Daniel Jeremiah joining us here on the show coming up in approximately hour number four, about midway through hour number four. We'll have him from the combine as people are talking about Tua Tagovailoa's health and what's the latest on that and whether Joe Burrow will throw or not at this combine. But the other news around the NFL today is the new CBA. So right now, leadership in the NFL has said, you know what? This looks good to us. Let's put this in front of our membership for approval. So a step closer to this thing getting ratified. The NFL Players Association just needs a majority of the approximately 2,000 players to accept the agreement, and that it would be a go for this year. Now, there's a couple of things that are notable. Number one, the 17-game schedule. It's been 16 games since 1978. So this would be adding a game for the first time in more than 40 years, an expansion of the regular season. Also, two new playoff teams, one in the AFC, one in the NFC, meaning that the number one seed would be the only seed with a bye. No more would there be a bye for the two seed. You'd get a bye for the one seed, and then everybody else would play wild card weekend. It would mean also an expanded roster, so more jobs for players. They'd have a higher percentage of the revenue, up to 48% of the revenue. There would also be a shortened preseason, eliminating the fourth preseason game. So that's the big ones here. Remember back in 2011, we had a lockout for a couple of weeks. Didn't miss any games, but there was the threat of missing games. We haven't missed any games in football since 1987 with the strike and the scab player. So it's been a relatively long labor piece for the NFL. Looks like that we are on this thing again. If they're about to ratify this with a year to go, they're doing something right. And like I said a couple of days ago, I think one of the big reasons, maybe the biggest reason, that this is getting done a year in advance is they know the economy is good, business is good right now. Don't wait in case the market fluctuates, the international global economy is in a different place a year from now. If the national economy is in a different place a year from now, if you're going to lock in massive media rights deals, you shop them, you sell them today when business is doing well. Business is gangbusters. Mraz, when you look at this new CBA, what's your biggest takeaway? What's the thing that as a fan you circle and say that's the biggest impact of the new CBA?
I think it's still the 17 games. I know that seems so obvious, but I think, number one, as a fan, we're getting more football. So whether you like the idea of them having an odd number of games and how it's all structured, the fact of the matter is, from strictly a fan's point of view, we are getting an extra week of football. So, and for the players to agree to that when all we heard was the drum of the 18-game schedule being pounded and the resistance that now all of a sudden there's a 17th game and the players have gotten enough out of there, it feels like it's kind of weird that there was no more fight on that. But the bottom line is this, we're going to result in more football, and the players are okay with that.
So the big part about that 17th game is we were talking about the idea floated that there would be unlimited international games, or at least 16 different right. international games.
Neutral site.
All 16 neutral site games to get to that 17th game that all 32 teams would play in one neutral site game. Apparently, that's off the table.
Yes.
That the player said, no, we're not going to have 16 different international games.
Going to cap the amount of international games, which we don't know the number, but if it's capped, I mean, look, we breathe on the DA show of crushing these international games. So if the player's going to cap on it, that also tells me the players don't want to be traveling all over the place to play these games. They want to be home. They don't want to be in Europe every week, every year.
No doubt. And I'm glad for that win. I'm glad that the players didn't take that bait. Because you know I hate the international series. I think it's a watered-down version of a regular season NFL game. It's in a stadium that is not normally suited for football, almost never. It's in a far-off land, or just travel makes things more difficult on the players. Playing surface problems is a real issue. They had to move the one out of Mexico City 2 years ago, the Rams and Chiefs game.
Seems like every game in London, somebody's slipping all over the place.
It just never looks like the intensity of a real NFL regular season game. There's so few regular season NFL games. And on top of that, that you're taking away home games from people in those cities that work those games, that are on shift rates. So ticket takers and janitorial services and food services and parking services, you're taking money out of all of those people's pockets to go ship this and export this overseas. Plus, the NFL's doing quite well, thank you. So I always hate the fact that, oh, we need to expand the footprint. For what? You're already filthy, stinking rich. If you have those games here, we go, we watch. There's no real reason to do it besides more greed. So I hate those. So I'm glad the NFL players said, we're not going to just keep going overseas for a million games a year. But then that means that they're going to have to find out other solutions, which, like we heard earlier this week, could be the NFC gets a home game every year, all the NFC, the AFC gets to the next year, which none of this feels good. None of it feels right. But look, again, it's a battle that I'm going to lose because the NFL owners want a 17th game. I think the biggest takeaway for me is that the NFL owners are total hypocrites when it comes to safety. Not that we didn't know this already, but here's the obvious proof of the pudding. To Mraz's point, a 17th game is significant. We have not had an expansion of the regular season since 1978. So to add a game for the first time in 42 years is significant at a time where there's supposedly more attention on health and wellness and safety than ever before. Those two things don't jive on top of adding playoff teams. So two teams now will have to play an extra football game on top of the 17th game because they would have had to buy the two seeds in the playoffs on top of two more teams making the playoffs. So now you're talking about everybody playing 17 and six out of the seven conference playoff teams perhaps having a four-game playoff. You've just added more wear and tear. You've added more collisions. You've added more games. You've added more what you've deemed to say, we're watching out for, we're weary of, we're protective of. You're just adding more of it, which is total hypocrisy. So this is why I consistently bang the drum of you can't trust the 32 NFL owners and the commissioner as far as you can throw them. They're never going to give you a real answer of truth because all they are really big fat pigs pigging out of their trough and they just keep wanting more and more and more. And there's just no other way to put it. I mean, they're already the richest, most powerful, most influential league on this continent and one of the most powerful leagues in the world. And what they're saying is not enough. We need more games. We need more playoff teams. We need more content. We need more games. We need to be making more money. even though everything's going quite well for them, they need more and more at the same time of saying, well, we're very into this safety thing. We're making sure that we're treating you guys really well here. Oh, but by the way, let's play 17th game, add more playoff teams. You guys are cool with that, right? Okay, great. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. Twitter, DA on CBS. Our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home, hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. Elvis is next up. He's in Mobile, Alabama, listening on radio.com there. Good morning, Elvis.
What's going on, DA?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. Hey, I got to ask you something. You had said that you didn't like the international games because it was just all about money. What do you think this whole thing is about, man? I mean, I remember hearing a radio report a few years back about Exxon, how they've made $63 billion, and you just know they're in the boardroom saying, come on, guys, that's not enough. We need $70 billion. I mean, that's what this whole thing is about. It's just about money, just a cash grab. I'm not in favor. More is not always better. I'm out.
Yeah, well, I agree. I don't know if you and I are disagreeing on that. And I think that exactly to your point, more is not always better. There's a 16-game regular season that everybody loves. There's a 6-team playoff in each conference that everybody loves. The structure is something everybody loves. Nobody really wants more international games except the owners. But they have something that's incredibly good. It's incredibly successful. It's nearly perfect in many ways in terms of the structure of it. And, you know, they just want to screw it up because they just need to have more. And so, yeah. I totally agree. It's remarkably frustrating when you see this coming from this league, but it is, you know, they'll insist that, you know, kind of doesn't matter because you can't kill this golden goose. And I think that they're right, that they can add games and international games and playoff games. And, you know, look, part of this also, guys are not going to be practicing in pads anymore. I mean, we're getting to the point where you're not going to be able to practice in pads. They've now limited what it went from 35 to 16?
It might have even been a little more than 35, but it got eliminated to 16.
We're down to 16 padded practices. 16. Now think about that. You have an NFL full of guys who have played football for their entire lives. It went from 28 to 16. Now, if you go back even 20 years, guys are doing two-a-days. 10 years ago, guys are doing two-a-days. Now, forget two-a-days. You will only be in pads for 3/4 of training camp. That's just pads. Maybe half of training camp. You're not even putting on pads for half of training camp. And we're going to get to a point where there's no pads. Nobody practices in pads. And you know what that's going to mean? Bad football. It's going to be in the first month of football because nobody's going to play in the preseason and nobody's going to practice in pads, that the first month of the regular season is going to look like the preseason. It already does. You know, so the NFL owners are like, okay, well, we'll give you the no practice time as long as you play more games because we can't sell practice time, but we can sell the games. Chavis is next up in Houston, listening on CBS Sports Radio 610 there. Good morning, Chavis.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I just want to chime in a little bit. I agree with the changes, but I think there was a significant underlying change about it is that now teams in the NFL won't be 8-8 anymore. You're either below 500 or you're above 500. That's all I want to say.
That's exactly right. No more 8-8s. Either going to be 9-8 or 8-9, which is going to make it really difficult for a Jeff Fisher to get back into this league. What's he going to do?
Well, or it's easier to hire him now because he's got a better chance of being 9-8.
Or he can go 7-10.
I guess, yeah.
That's the other weird thing about this, though. And I want to know what the number is going to be for a playoff team. Is it 9-8? Is it 10-7? It's going to look weird for a long time.
Because we've always said if you get to 10 wins,
right,
10-6, you're almost guaranteed a playoff spot.
But is that still going to hold true at 10-7?
No.
Do you have to be 11-6?
It's going to be 11-7. No, 11-6.
Yeah, see, we're at My problem with the XFL might be a problem with the NFL.
But is it? Because everyone, when this first came up with the extra playoff spot, and everyone was going back and doing all of the
research. That's true, too, the extra playoff spot.
But it was all, so maybe it was all now, crap teams getting in.
But maybe now it will stay 10 wins. It'll just be 10-7 because of the extra playoff.
It might go down because there's an extra spot. You might be able to get in at 9-8.
And then if you throw ties in there, forget it.
Well, and listen,
ties might help make it look normal.
We all like stats and numbers. Like, how, you know, it's annoying when you go back into history and go, well, he had this in a 14-game schedule. Now we got to reassess for all these new records that are coming 17 games?
Yep, because the NFL wasn't successful enough.
It's still more football. We still will have an extra Monday to come in here and talk about football. And I think that's a win for us as fans.
But the only thing is you could have done that just by adding a bye. You could have just had a 2-bye season.
You're right. You're right. You still get the extra week of football. I don't know.
A 2-bye season, at least I could listen to the owners talk about safety with a straight face. You can't talk about safety in the NFL and then add football games.
I agree with you on safety. This is me basically being a fan that is trying to turn a blind eye to safety, and I understand that's not right. But there are a lot of times and a lot of weeks where the schedule's a little watered down in that 1 o'clock or 4:25 slot that if you start making an extra bye and having less games on those days, and you have a chance of some real clunkers and some big windows, and the TV networks aren't going to like that. By adding this game, it's going to help that.
Is it? What if we're getting crap games? You'd be putting another round of crappy games on the schedule.
What if a 17th game equals worse football? What if, you know, an extra week, guys take off during the regular season, they don't play all 17 games? What if by the time we get to December, you know, everybody's banged up, we're trying to figure out playoff spots in the 17th week where guys just aren't ready to play anymore because they're so banged up?
Yeah, Sean, I get that we're different in this because I haven't watched every single second of the XFL over the last 3 weekends, but like...
That's a new problem.
No, I removed myself from one game last week.
Okay, but either way, like, well, we've got more football. Like, that's not... Like, that, I'm okay with 16 games. Like, the 17th... I'm not going to be thankful for that 17th or 18th weekend of NFL regular season action.
Absolutely will be thankful when it's now the second week of February and we're gearing up for a Super Bowl and all of a sudden you turn around and spring training's in 3 days. You'll be thankful then.
Spring training was like 7 days after this last Super Bowl.
Thankful.
I'm okay.
You'll
seriously
be thankful.
No, no, no. I'm like, I have other activities. I have other options.
Well, Bogus,
like, I'm all right.
Not everybody has a life, okay? So this is it.
I know.
We get more football. That's all we can ask for. I want good football, DA. I want good football.
So we've oftentimes painted Mraz as the villain of the newsroom, but it's possible there's been a big sea change over the last week or so. Mraz has seemingly been a little more motivated to do great work around here, and I think it's paying off.
Hard candy.
I think it's paying off. But there has been a new villain rising from the darkness to grab and snatch pucks from practices, skate arounds. And it seems like he was born in the darkness. And so we'll talk about this coming up here because there was a newsroom incident yesterday, a takedown that Bogus was an eyewitness of that the rest of us didn't witness, but Bogus did. So he's going to have to tell us the story. If you got thoughts on the CBA, I want to hear from you on this because it's in front of the players now. The players' leadership has said, okay, we're going to push this on to our membership. So now it's up to the 2,000 NFL players to vote yay or nay. If they vote yay, they only need a majority, and this new CBA goes into effect. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Now, Bogus is in with your headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
DA, good morning. Those headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save pay an average of $796 less per year. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Aside from that potential new NFL CBA, we have Vikings wideout Stephon Diggs, who recently did that thing where you remove all mentions and pictures of your team from social media, suggesting you might be unhappy and you want out. So there were trade rumors again swirling around Diggs. So Vikes GM Rick Spielman tried to stop those rumors yesterday at the scouting combine.
There's no reason or the rumors or whatever you're talking about
to anticipate that Stephon Diggs is not going to be a Minnesota Viking.
Now, Spielman said he has not spoken in any reason or for any reason to Diggs' camp since the season ended. They probably will meet at some point this week in Indy. The Broncos say they'll use the franchise tag on safety Justin Simmons if necessary. The safety number expected to be $11.6 million. And adding GM officially to his head coaching duties is enough for Bill O'Brien. Offensive coordinator Tim Kelly taking over the play calling duties for the Texans.
Oh, so Bill O'Brien is GM, president, ruler of all things Texans, but he will not be the play caller.
It's one thing too many.
Okay, well.
Stinks for J.J. Watt.
That might actually help. I think I would actually prefer seeing Deshaun Watson have plays come in not from Bill O'Brien.
We'll see. Unfortunately, guys, only the Kings played basketball last night.
Bogey, Fox, and Heald are the other three. Here's Fox driving, gets in the paint, reaches to the rim, scores again.
Somebody call the Boulder Fire Department because this place has been lit.
Now, this game was in San Francisco last night, so I'm not sure what the Boulder Fire Department could do for the building being lit, but who's to argue with Gary Gerald?
Well, Gary Gerald, I think, has taken some pages out of the Mark Johnson playbook after you know we've had this kind of duel to the death between the two. So coming up on Thursday, they both play.
This is correct.
And I'm calling them the players because basically they're just as influential to their teams as the players are. So they'll both play on Thursday night, which means on Friday morning we'll have another vocal combat, duel to the death, between Gary Gerald of the Kings and Mark Johnson of the Buffs.
But for now, Gerald and the Kings beat the Warriors last night, 112-94. De'Aaron Fox had 21. LeBron scored 40, 29 for Zion in their first meeting. The Lakers won it, 118-109, extending their win streak to 6. Sixers guard Ben Simmons reportedly has a nerve impingement in his lower back. He'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks, but expected to be out longer than that. College hoops, for the second time in a week, Duke loses on the road to an unranked North Carolina school.
Oklahoma comes out to screen. Childress veers to the right, picked up now by Hurt. 6 to shoot, 5 to shoot. Here's Childress, step back jumper. Give it to him! Childress with a big one. 15 points for him. Wake's lead, 8.
That's Stan Cotton from Learfield IMG College. Brandon Childress scored 13 of his 17 after regulation. Wake Forest pulling off a 113-101 double OT upset of Duke, who led by 9 late in regulation. Yankees righty Luis Severino will have Tommy John surgery tomorrow. And from the NHL last night, the Rangers, a team record 8-game road win streak after a 4-3 OT victory at the Islanders.
Let's go.
DA.
Thank you, Andrew. When we return, Bogish fills us in on something he witnessed that none of us did. That was a newsroom takedown of the newest villain here at CBS Sports Radio. It's a big one. Literally. Morning Mothership on CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Hey, good morning, DA. First of all, I want to pay you a compliment. I think you're the best thing in sports radio. You're so informative, and I get something out of your show every morning.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Watch us, won't you? Check us out on WatchDA.com, available on any device. WatchDA.com, no subscription needed, no sign-up needed. It's free. Watch the show every day at WatchDA.com. Bogish is standing by for a eyewitness account of something that happened in the newsroom yesterday. But first, Dale is in Alabama listening on 106.5 to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Dale?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
I'm doing well, man. Good morning.
Good. Hey, first time calling here. Well, I appreciate y'all taking my call.
Well, thank you, sir.
Hey, so my question is, and I just want to maybe critique and maybe give an example and let you guys have at it. So we're doing away with the padded practices, the focus on player safety and fatigue. Wouldn't that be a big benefit? And my example would be, being from Alabama, we see, we're big college fans down here. We see Alabama year after year lose a lot of players to these intense practices. And I know that's been criticized, as part of Nick Saban's tenure is his intense practices and losing players through that. So I just wanted to, see what your guys' opinion are on that. Losing those practices, would that not kind of offset some of that player safety to add that 17th game?
Well, I think ideally, Dale, that's the concept. that the players say, well, if we're going to be forced to play a 17th game, which it sounds like a lot of the players did not want to acquiesce to, but the money was good enough for them to say yes, then the trade-off was going to be, well, you can't make us practice as much. And so there's going to be more off days during training camp. Apparently, they're going to up it from 5 to 8 total days off. So now you're talking about over 4 or 5 weeks, almost 2 days off a week, and limited to 16 padded practices. So, yeah, there's going to be less hitting in pads. You know, I wonder, though, no matter if you eliminated 20 padded practices, does it equate to a regular season NFL game? Does it equate to a playoff game? I mean, do those two things, are they apples and oranges? You know, yeah, guys blow out ACLs. Yeah, guys can get injured in practice, but we rarely in the NFL anymore see padded practices lead to anything besides, you know, joint injuries because somebody cuts on it. Not that there's such a wear and tear because, you know, guys are barely hitting as it is, knowing that they want to protect their bodies. I don't know. It's just not the 70s or the 80s anymore. So I have my doubts about how much that really will help safety. Let's hope it does, because I think everybody, whether you're a fan or you really care about the players, is just simply you don't want to see players hurt. But, you know, the owner's adding a 17th week, a 17th game, and extra playoff games. It rings kind of hollow, no matter if they eliminate the practices for padded or not, in terms of player safety. So yesterday here in the newsroom, one of our longtime update anchors, John Minko, who has built a legendary career on WFAN in New York.
Get a load of this!
He's also the play-by-play voice of St. John's basketball.
Hey!
Was going off. And he's a mild-mannered guy. I mean, everybody loves Mink. He barely says a word, barely says a peep. You don't even know if he knows your name. So Mink being upset at something is very rare. And Bogues, you witnessed him with a verbal takedown. What did you witness?
So Bilotti was there as well. This was somewhere between 11:30 and noon, I think, yesterday. It was nearing the end of our time here. Uh-huh. Sean was long gone. You had just left after slaving through your normal post-show routine.
Sure.
And John is an interesting character. He likes to just wander the newsroom at times, down from the WFAN side to our side. Sometimes takes a shot at Sean and others. Yesterday, all of a sudden, he goes, you know who needs to be stopped? Ears perk up.
Who needs to be stopped?
Peter Schwartz.
Is that...
My baby daddy, Peter Schwartz.
Is that right?
Peter Schwartz needs to be stopped.
What matters is our plan.
Because he had seen pictures of Peter at Islanders morning skate yesterday. And Mink goes, oh, Lou Lamoriello's here, who's the Islander GM. Let's take a picture. He's critiquing the caught puck from Peter Schwartz as well. But just kept saying over and over again, he needs to be stopped. He needs to be stopped. This is out of control. And I offer
it's
Mink,
out of control.
I was like, Mink, he's there for nobody. He's not doing anything with the information he's collecting at Islander practice. And Mink, and that just fired Mink up more. You're right. He's there for nobody. What's he doing there? Why is he there? And again, he needs to be stopped.
Wow.
When you've lost Mink.
Yeah.
You've lost Middle America.
And I don't call your friends, folks!
And I don't know what Mink means by has to be stopped.
Yeah, that
but
sounds
it's all
threatening.
On the table. Exactly. Exactly. And I don't wish ill will on Peter, but he
sure.
might want to watch his back if he's got Mink on the prowl.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
So for background, Peter Schwartz was our update anchor for the first 2 years when we were overnights here on CBS Sports Radio. He still handles updates on CBS Sports Radio in assorted shifts, normally on the weekends. And he is renowned, infamous, for getting some type of access to teams or events through media credentials or media connections. And yesterday, he posted a picture of something that he got at Islanders Morning Skate, which is a complete media no-no. We'll discuss that coming up next here on The DA Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.